So as we were singing that song and Christian just mentioned, I'm just reminded by the fact that when we all come here week in and week out, whether you're in person or watching online, when we come here, there is such an opportunity, especially if you're in the room, to greet one another, to share the stories of your week, to really understand that there are mountains in life. How many of you have had a mountain this last week or month that you've tried to get around that has been just challenging? Are there any of those around? There's tons of them. And as we gather together in worship, as we come into this place and understand that we're all in this together, there's power. When we lift our voices up together and we hear the person singing next to us or behind us and we understand that God is present in this place, the mountains seem to fade away, even for just a moment. And that's my prayer for us today. As we look at the scriptures, as we dive in and continue and actually wrap up the series Fresh Start, that you have an opportunity today. This has been my prayer. That you have an opportunity today to look at the things in your life, whether they're small or whether they're huge, and offer them up to the Lord and say, God, I can't do it. I'm done. But I know you can. I know your power is sufficient. Your grace is sufficient. Your love for me endures. Your love for me is more than I'll ever know. And hopefully today, as we talk about Fresh Start, you'll be able to sense and experience what a fresh start would look like for you in your life in a couple of different ways. But let me pray for our time. God, I pray that everything that happens in this next time we're together would bring glory and honor to your name. Lord, as there are distractions maybe floating around in our minds of things that we have to accomplish this afternoon, tomorrow, or things that are just heavy on our shoulders that we just can't handle right now, Lord, I pray that for a while you would allow us to push those things off to the side and hear what you might have for us this morning. That as we're here together in this place, in your presence, with brothers and sisters who love you, that we would let our guards down for just a moment and allow your Holy Spirit to do a work in our hearts and our lives and our minds. That God, you would allow us to release to you the things that we shouldn't hold on to, and that we would grab a hold of your hope, healing, and grace this morning. We thank you, Father, and we pray these things in Jesus' mighty and powerful name. Amen. We're in the fourth and final week of our series, Fresh Start, where we've been looking at different people in the Bible and the fresh starts that they had in their lives. We looked at Moses the first week. We looked at Hannah and then Peter. But today might be my favorite of all of the messages, because I definitely know that all of us will be able to relate to what's going to happen in the moments to follow. Our theme verse for this series has been Romans 12, 1 through 2, which is something many of you may know. It's therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. I love this next line. Do not conform to the pattern of the world. Do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will know. You will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. If we've hoped that you have gotten anything out of the series, it would be to look at that scripture and to understand that you can be transformed in your mind, that you can have a fresh start. The patterns, the thought patterns, maybe even the physical patterns you've been engaged in, you can push them off to the side with the help of God through the power of Jesus Christ. And you can be transformed. You can live differently in this world. Today we're going to look at a gentleman in scripture, the likes of which his story is recorded maybe more so than any others, as he's written so much of our Bible. We're going to look at Paul. Well, we're going to start looking at him when his name was Saul. You see, at one point in his journey, he was against Christians altogether. Then he had an encounter with God that caused him to do a 180. To totally change everything about who he was, what he did, where he went, how he spoke, who he cared for. He had an encounter with God that changed everything. Everything about him. He went from being an enemy of Christ, a Pharisee of Pharisees who persecuted believers, to being the one who spread the word of the Lord, to spread the gospel further than maybe anybody else has in history. The church that we know today can be drawn back to him. The theology and the doctrine that we have can be tied to this man. And next to Jesus, I dare to say that Paul is the greatest character, the greatest witness of the faith in our tradition. And we're going to pick up his story in Acts 9. If you have your Bibles, turn to it. If you have your Bible app, you can do that, or it'll be on the screen. But before we get to Acts 9, you have to understand, when Stephen was stoned, Paul was the one who sat there approving of what was happening. Stephen confessed to Jesus and told the religious leaders that they were responsible for Jesus' death, and he just laid out this beautiful picture of what had just happened. And they'd had enough, so they picked up stones, they dragged him out, picked up stones, and threw them at him until he died. And Saul stood there approving of everything that just happened. That's who this guy was. So, Acts 9, verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, any who were followers of Jesus, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." There are some times in Scripture, I wish I could see it. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him away by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. Here's this man who was on his way to find followers of the way, followers of Jesus in Damascus, to drag them back to Jerusalem to throw them in jail. And he had a life-changing encounter with Jesus that actually changed the course of history in a real way, because his words and his ministry experience and his missionary journeys brought the gospel to parts of the world that it had not yet reached. And we're not going to talk about his conversion much more than this, but we are going to talk about his transformation. Saul, from Saul who persecuted Christians, to Paul, who was one of the greatest influences of our faith. He wrote 13 books of our New Testament. He went on 3 missionary journeys. He traveled, some estimate, over 10,000 miles by land and by sea, not by plane or by car. They were hard miles as he brought the gospel. He was instrumental for the formation of the church as we know it today. And it all started with a conversation with Jesus. A fresh start requires an encounter with God. In your life, a fresh start requires an encounter with God. In my life, a fresh start requires an encounter with God. And many of you sitting here have had that experience. Now, maybe your story isn't as dramatic as Paul's. Maybe you weren't out seeking to kill Christians and you weren't on that type of journey, but maybe you have other things in your life that all of a sudden you had this encounter with Jesus and you still experience that same power, the power to forgive sins. Over my years here at the church, especially when I was in student ministry, there would be middle school and high school kids who would say, "You know what? My testimony, my conversion story isn't all that impressive." Because they've heard stories of people, maybe like Paul or like others, who have these extraordinary stories where they were caught in sin and heading in a dangerous direction, and then they were radically transformed by Jesus. Then I have a 7th or 8th grader who would say, "I accepted Jesus in kindergarten here at the church at a fall retreat. I don't have that story." So they used to think that their story wasn't powerful enough, that they needed some sin to be present in their life to validate their testimony. And I used to tell them, "You are so wrong. because you still saw God's transforming power, his grace in your life. He forgave you of your sins and made you a new creation. The divine and perfect Savior died for you so that you may leave a life of sin and experience a life of goodness with God. He gave up his life so that we could find ours. For many of you, you've made that decision to follow Jesus with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But I know in this room today, there are some who haven't. And just a little bit later, I'm going to give those who haven't, who might consider doing that today, an opportunity to respond to the gospel. A few weeks ago, we had a baptism service. We're right in front here. We had the baptismal set up, and we read the stories of those who were being baptized. And I don't know about you, but that was one of the most encouraging services I've seen or experienced here in a long time, because we got to hear the stories of people whose lives had been changed by Jesus. There was huge joy in all of their stories. But what happens after that moment? What's happened in your life after you've encountered Jesus and you've been on this spiritual high and you've accepted him as Lord and Savior and you've realized that God is so good and you feel it? And others see it in you. They see the change that's happened in your life. But over time, be honest with yourself, over time, has that faded away? Not me, you might be thinking, but really, be honest with yourself. Have the old patterns of life that maybe you've once had crept back into who you are? The old ways of thinking, the old ways of doing things, the old ways of engaging with people in the world, maybe they've crept back into who you are. And they're present in your life, and as your old struggles resurface, you don't know what to do with them. It might not even be stuff like that. Maybe it's addiction issues that you had once defeated that are now back. Maybe it's language you use. Maybe it's your depression or anxiety or grief or broken relationships. But the impact of those things are present in your life again. I've seen so many Christians over the years have what I like to call a slow fade, where they're on fire for Jesus, following him with all of their being. And then over time, it just fades away to where they look at the world around them and they're not really any different than those they encounter every day. They fall into their old ways resurface. Can you relate to that? Don't tell your neighbor. Don't tell the person you came with. Don't tell anybody. Just in your heart, can you relate to that story where the passion you once had for Jesus has slipped away? If you're watching at home in your living room, there's no one there with you, or maybe your whole family's there, but answer that question for yourself too. Have you experienced that? I love that Paul in the scriptures was open with his struggles. We see him as a hero of the faith who brought the gospel to places it had never gone before, but he's also very real with his struggles and who he is. In 2 Corinthians, he wrote, "Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me." We don't know what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. We don't know if it was physical, emotional, or spiritual. And I'm glad it's incredibly vague on that topic. But we can all, come on, we can all relate that there's something in my heart that no matter how many times I ask God to take it away, it just never goes away. Maybe it's an illness you've been struggling with for years, and no matter how much you pray, it never leaves. It's an addiction you've been grappling with, trying to push off to the side for years, and no matter how hard you try, it just doesn't go away. You've been seeking healing for a long time, and it just hasn't come. I think Paul can relate. And he says, three times I pleaded with the Lord, but I'm sure it was even more than three as his life went on. I'm sure he fell on his knees over and over again saying, God, take this away from me. And apparently he never did. As we've been going through this series, we've talked about Moses, Hannah, and Peter, and we saw how God answered their prayers and worked through them, and we see them as examples of how to truly follow God. Moses, he found his voice and he was able to speak, but you're still looking for your voice. Hannah, in her desperation and pain, cried out to God, and he answered her prayers in the way she wanted. Peter, looking for reconciliation and forgiveness, found it, but maybe you've been searching for a long time, and it just hasn't come. And you can relate with Paul. You have the same struggles that he did. You can understand having something in your life that no matter how many times you cry out to God, he just doesn't fix it. And that can be incredibly painful. When you see there's a perceived lack of response from God, it can begin to challenge your faith. But Paul continues in 2 Corinthians. But he said to me, God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, I am strong. Paul's saying, no matter what the hardship, the trouble, the persecution, the weakness, when I am weak, God's able to work through me, and actually, I'm strong. That can be really challenging. I've had a week in my personal life where I get this. You see me hobbling around up here. On the 21st, I fell skiing. I've been skiing for many years. It was a freak accident. I was doing something. I felt my knee pop, and then I fell, and it was pretty bad. Had an MRI the next day, and actually I've torn my ACL and injured my MCL. But that's not the worst of my week. I would take that all week long compared to the rest. Last Sunday morning, my wife woke up, Holly, and she couldn't move. I mean, she could move, but her back was in such pain and the pain was shooting down her legs that she really couldn't do much. So we were at a pastor's and spouse's retreat, which was funny, and that happened the last day of the retreat. And then we go on, and then we get home, and we struggle to get home, and then Monday, she takes her about 20 minutes to get from bed to the couch. Tuesday, more of the same. And Tuesday afternoon, about 1:30, she called me sobbing on the phone and said, you need to come get me. I need to go somewhere. This is awful. She's only been off the couch a handful of times this week. She had an MRI on Friday, and we find out on Tuesday what's going on. But it's been a rough week. And you know what made it even worse? By the way, we have two cats, and I like one of them. And after this story, I might not even like that one. See, all this is going on. And it's just, you know, do you ever have those weeks where there's so many things happening, you're like, I don't even know what's going on, right? So I'm carrying the laundry basket, which I shouldn't have been doing, hobbling on one leg down the basement stairs. Bad idea. But that's not the worst part. I made it. But as I take a step, I just fed the cats. As I take a step, my right foot ended up in something warm and smushy. I didn't like the cats very much right then. Got to the bottom of the stairs because I couldn't stop. Looked back and I'm like, oh gosh. I call for Jacob. Jacob, you better get here because you've got a lot to clean up. He did it. I don't know how. But at that moment, it was just like, God, what else? And it's just silly. It was just cat vomit. It wasn't anything awful. But at that moment, it was awful. But at that moment, it was just like, and that's when I had to say, your grace is sufficient. For my power is made perfect in weakness. His power had to become perfect in me because we are just weak in our house right now. And if you come in here today and you've got a list of things going on in your life and you can relate, we've got all these things happening and nothing seems to make sense, we really need to look at the life of Paul. You see, he had a fresh start. Throughout his life, he had many hardships. He was stoned himself. People threw rocks at him trying to kill him. He was shipwrecked. He was bitten by a snake. He had all of these things going on in his life over and over and over again. For following Jesus, he felt pain. He felt persecuted. He felt all of the things listed in that scripture over and over again. And if anybody could have thrown in the towel and said, "I'm done with this," it would have been Paul. Over and over again, for following Jesus, he found himself on the wrong side of many different situations. He could have fallen into destructive thought patterns. I'm not good enough. I'm not valued by God. There's so many things he could have been. He could have been resentful. He could have said, "I'm walking and I'm out." Instead, there was an opportunity for him to turn all of that over to God and to fully rely on him for everything. In the middle of his pain, in the middle of the stress of his life and everything that was going on, he could have ran the other way, or he could have grabbed a hold of God and embraced him with all of who he was. And I dare to say he embraced him with all of who he was. In the middle of our lives and all that's going on, we have an opportunity to run from God or to embrace him. To understand that we're weak, and when we're weak, he can work through us. When there will be struggles, there will be heartaches, there will be pain, but when we do, he is right there to comfort us. And he might not answer your prayers exactly the way you want, but he's present in the middle of your pain. And he wants to offer you a fresh start. We live in a culture that's quick to discard and discredit. When somebody messes up, it's really easy for us to push them off to the side and say, "You're not good enough." But that's not what our God does. When he sees the hurt and the pain, when he sees our brokenness, it can be a beautiful opportunity for us to understand that he is strong. And in our weakness, when we embrace him, he works in our hearts in a way that we don't even begin to understand. No matter how many times we fall short, no matter how much we wrestle with our brokenness, God is faithful. In 2 Corinthians, it continues, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day." On the outside, it looks like everything's falling to pieces and the world is crumbling, but in my heart, I'm being renewed day by day. By his goodness, by his grace, by his love, by his very presence in my life, I am made new and refreshed every day. No matter what your struggle is, no matter where you've come from today to get into this place, God wants to renew you every day. In the middle of your pain, he wants to renew you every day, that you would rely on his power. As a church, we need to be honest about our brokenness. I'm just going to be real honest. I didn't do this last service. How many times do you walk into church and you walk into a room like this or out in the lobby and you look around and you think everybody has it all together? Right? They're dressed in their Sunday best. They're talking. They're engaged. They look happy. If you got below the layer of most people who walk in here on a Sunday morning, that is not at all the case. It's not my story. When we're truly honest with ourselves and we understand that nobody's as good as they look on their social media feed. Nobody's as good as they look on the pictures they put on Instagram or Facebook. And inside, we're all feeling the weight of the world. When we understand that and then we come together and we experience the grace of God together through worship, through teaching, through fellowship, when we see somebody and shake their hand and we can see the tears in their eyes because of the week they've had, we're able to embrace each other and to share the love of Christ with one another. Nobody's as good as they look on the outside. Let me let you in on that. I've been here for many years. I've seen a lot of people and I know that to be true. But we are all in need of a Savior. And you know what? We're all in need of each other, the body of Christ. I don't know where I'd be without my friends coming around me and Holly right now as we're walking this journey. I don't know where we would be. How do people do it who don't have what we have in Jesus? The healing process can take time, and sometimes the healing might not come at all. You might live a lifetime with whatever is going on in your heart and your mind and your emotions. You might live a lifetime and never find the relief and healing that you think you need or deserve. But in the middle of your weakness, understand that God is present with you in the middle of that pain, and he's holding you up right. He's right there by your side. We have a whole ministry around here. We have healing ministries, which are ministries that come alongside people who are struggling and walking through the difficulties of life, whether it be grief share for those who have lost a loved one. And I'll tell you, I walked by the grief share room earlier this week, and the people who are in there are finding what they're looking for. The Hope and Healing Ministries and the Encouragers. If you're having a difficulty in life, we have people who are trained who want to walk through that difficulty with you so that you're not alone. There's a whole bunch of them. At the Connection Center, there's a limited number of these brochures. If you all want to get one, we'd run out. But all this information is also available on the website. So if you go to revivewesleyan.com, you can find all the information that's in this brochure on our website. It might be the step you need to take to begin to find the healing you deserve or deserve that you're looking for, that your soul is craving. Today we spoke about two characters, two people in Scripture, and then one I'll mention in a moment that maybe you identify with. The first one is Saul. Saul had this experience with Jesus where he was just going about his normal day, and all of a sudden he had this encounter which transformed him, which changed him as he grabbed a hold of Jesus. Maybe you're here today saying the struggles of life are too great for me to go on by myself, and I need to know more about this Jesus you're talking about. Well, I'm glad you asked. It's through a personal relationship with Jesus, walking with him day by day, step by step, that you can begin to find the hope, healing, and grace that we talk about. If you want to begin that relationship, in a moment I'm going to pray, and you can pray that prayer along with me to begin that relationship. Maybe you're like Paul, and you have a thorn in your flesh. You have something that no matter how hard you try and who you talk to, it just won't leave. It's stuck. And you're tired of doing it alone. It can be exhausting doing those things alone. If you feel like Paul and you feel broken and there's nowhere to turn, look into one of our healing ministries. Talk to people. If you're in a community group, instead of just attending your group and pretending everything's fine each and every week and not really getting into the depth and the dirt of life, maybe when you get together this week, you say, time out. We just have these pleasantries we do every week when we gather, and you just let it all out this week and share the pain of your life and see how those in your group respond. It can be a vulnerable moment, but once you take the first step and others see that it's a safe place, it'll foster an environment where people are just willing to share. But find people you can walk through life with. Or maybe you're like Ananias. You see, when Saul got to Damascus, he was alone, and the Lord spoke to this gentleman named Ananias and said, you go and you talk to this gentleman from Tarsus, and you lay hands on him and you pray for him. And Ananias initially said, no way, he's here to kill Christians. He's here to drag us back to Jerusalem and persecute us. I'm not going near him. And the Lord continued. And Ananias went and laid hands on Saul and prayed for him, and something like scales fell off of Saul's eyes and he could see again. Maybe you're like Ananias, where you know somebody who's struggling, somebody who needs to know what you know about Jesus, and this week you come alongside them in their pain, in their struggle, whatever it is, you wrap your arms around them and you pray for them and care for them and show them the love of Christ. So, do you identify most with Saul, Paul, or Ananias? Each of those have very different responses. Like I said, I'm going to pray for those of you who think you feel or sound like Saul. I'm going to pray that a simple prayer that you can pray along with me to accept Jesus as your Savior. But maybe you're a Paul or an Ananias. Outside these walls to my right, we have our prayer room. It's called the living room, and people pray for what's happening in services and after services every week. Maybe today you're here saying, I really need prayer. And you would go out there to that room, and people will come around you, just like Ananias laid hands on Paul, and pray for you. It might be the best thing you do today. Let me pray for us. And like I said, if you feel a tug on your heart today to accept Jesus as Savior, I'm going to start with that and just say these simple words in your heart as I say them out loud. Let's pray. For those who identify as Saul, dear God, I'm tired of doing life by myself, of trying to figure out everything on my own. I admit that I've lived a life separate from you, that sin is present in my heart and distracts me from so many things. But today, Jesus, I ask that you take my sin away. I ask you to be Lord of my life, to be my Savior, and that you would walk with me all the days of my life. I give you my heart today. And for those who feel like Paul, Lord, I pray that you would come alongside people in the middle of their pain and their brokenness, that we would experience your touch in our lives, your love, your grace, the beauty of who you are. And that as we walk with you and embrace you, we would find you faithful. God, just as Paul had a thorn in his flesh that you didn't take away, we admit, we understand that you may not take away the thorn. But even if you don't, we give you our struggles, we give you our pain. We ask that you work in and through us, that we would find you faithful. And Lord, for those who maybe want to pray and be engaged with people like Ananias did with Saul, I pray that you would encourage them and open their eyes to the realities around them this week and how they can serve others and be present in so many ways in the lives of those they see every day. That they can reach out and touch and encourage and be present and maybe give hope to people who have been hopeless for a while. We thank you for this time together today where we can worship and learn and grow together. And Lord, I pray for all of us that each and every day we would take advantage of the fresh start that's available to us as we embrace you and love you and serve you. And we pray in Jesus' mighty, holy, and powerful name. Amen. Amen. Like I mentioned, the prayer room is just out my right, your left. Head there if you have a need you would like prayer for. But we're going to close the service with one more song and sing this out. It speaks about the highs and the lows in life and how we come through them. And maybe this song today would be your prayer, your heart's song as we leave today.